Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together today. Thank you, Lord, that you acknowledge your presence with us and your anointing and your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, as we go into your word. Lord, quicken us. Just minister to us. Lord, help us to hear it, Lord, and put it to work in our life, Lord. Help us to acknowledge, Lord, what you have given us and manifested in our life. We thank you in advance, Lord, for everything in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. We've been looking at the crazy time we are in. Well, don't look too much there because it doesn't help too much. Okay, just look at the word. That's where things get resolved. But anyway, the thing is, we have to realize, and that's not just putting our head on the sand, in the sand, but it's really to realize what's going on and know what we have to do. You know, make clear and decisions that are going to make a difference, because it's not just a question of ignoring things. It's a question of, doing the right thing. Knowing what to do, knowing how to handle situation. The world is going to be getting messier and messier, and people are going to be more and more confused, and people are going to be more afraid, and everything else goes with that. And that certainly is not going to help them, because the fear, you know, is not going to solve their problems. It's going to make them just worse. But we don't need to fear, and we need to understand that God is in control, even in the situation, and that everything is evolving according to his plans, that he knows how to look after his people, and there are patterns in the past that demonstrate that. They give us assurance, that they help us to know that, he is going to look after his people, like he always did. But the people have to be connected with him. It's not just a question of taking a title or taking a label and saying that that's going to work anything. It's really, a question of for us to be connected and to be able to hear him, to be able to receive direction. So, the scriptures very clearly say that before his coming, it's going to be in Luke 17:26, says, as it was in the time, the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. It means, when he's coming back. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they, sometimes something else, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah had entered the ark and the flood came and distracted them all. You see, this is really the pattern that took place there, and it's really the same pattern that repeats very often when there is problems in the world. Okay, but Noah's family was saved, was not distracted, and God's desire is not just for somebody to be saved and not distracted. In John 3:16, it's very clearly, that his desire is for everybody to be saved. But that is conditional to what everybody is doing. Okay, and so we had to understand our part in all this to be able to benefit from what God wants us to do. Okay. The fact is, on those days, like even in this day specifically, God says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, then the Lord saw that the weaknesses of man was great in the earth. And that is really what's happening today. This is not a local problem. This is a world problem. It's everywhere. Is spreading everywhere. And so, God's patience is there holding on until, you know, it's completed the, you know, until waiting any longer is not going to improve things, it's going to make it worse. And then when he's going to intervene, okay? His intention is the best intention, he's loving and wanting everybody to get in. And we had to do as much as possible to do our job to make that happen. Okay, but that's not just making people religious, it's making people able to understand and connect with him and have been having a relationship and the life of God, eternal life inside us. Okay, so, and, you know, so the idea is that, you know, the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. So you see, we can expect that this is going to increase to be worse that way, okay? And we had to be, you know, realizing that without being influenced by what's going on around us, okay? Not be influenced by the way everybody think and does. Because this is one of the things that take place. What takes place is the fact that when we are exposed to things, there is a transference of spirits that can come on us unless we know what to do and as we take a position. Our positioning, spiritual positioning, is important. Okay? And we have to understand, okay, that wickedness spread just by simply even assimilation. You can see the way some things have spread in the last 50 years. And now, you know, just simply the fact that things are happening and the people are motivated and promoted and everything else, that's according to strategies of the enemy, okay, is very effective. People are sucked in the way of thinking and the way of looking at things and influenced in their position, including people that should know better. We can see, you know, even believers are being taken in by wrong ideas and thoughts that are spreading around in these days. Okay. And last Thursday, I showed some things about that quite in detail. And, you know, we can see the relationship. Okay. What generally I do on Thursday, if you are not joining there with us, you know, I'm actually filling the gaps that I cannot cover here on Sunday morning because there is just a many, you know, just about an hour or so that I can talk. You can cover everything. This is a lot of stuff that we need to understand from the Word to be able to counteract the continuous bombardment we have on our mind and our thought and our emotions from the world around us. So we need proper spiritual feeding and information to be able to stand firm in the position that God wants us to have and to be able to be able to overcome the pressure that the enemy tries to put on us. He is defeated. You have to understand that, and we're going to see more about that later on. Okay. But God has given us wisdom and power to overcome these things, not to be taken in. The same way as Noah that was connected with God, you know, was able to stand, you know, and do the things and prepare for the time. You know, he had worked for 100 years on his boat. Okay. We should have had about 100 years of time to prepare since when the Holy Spirit came back, you know, in a general manifestation on earth. And we should have learned a few things to be able to fight this, what's going on, okay? But we had to understand one thing. We cannot do it in our own strength, in our own abilities, okay? Even Jesus, when he came on earth, he knew very well that out of, you know, he was operating just like a man. He had renounced all the attributes, God attributes, and he was functioning as a man because he was taking our place, and he was enabling us to see how to operate and how to function. Okay? And so because of that, okay, he said very clearly, okay, you know, most assuredly, I say to you, and when he said that, you know, really means I'm in business. That's the truth. Huh? You know, the Son can do nothing on himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. You see, we have to be able to see and to connect. That doesn't mean you are going to have a, you know, open vision all the time and see God way. You know, he's saying that this is in something inside you already so clear and so solid that you know what God would do in a situation. You know, because it's been planted in you and it's been planted by the Word. Okay, so that's the idea. Okay, so we have to understand, okay, that only as we connect with God, as we are connected, that means do not allow other things to come in the way. We don't allow things that, you know, are contrary to what God says. And we're going to see this is, you know, part of the strategies that we should have. How we deal with those things. Okay, but the idea here is that we have to understand, okay, that we are completely dependent on our relationship with God. It's not our strength, it's not our ability, or it's not, you know, even our understanding. Proverbs 3:5 says very clearly, you know, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. You know, understanding is important, but it gets to a certain limit because we don't understand everything. So there are things that can come to us that we just aren't quite capable to know completely what to do, but he's there to help us, especially now for the, you know, for the equipment that he has provided us. And we have to understand also, okay, that we have to be somewhat depending on him. There are many places in the Bible saying that. You know, for example, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says very clearly, finally, my brethren, and this is really a final thing that we have to grasp on, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, that's the thing that we have to get. You know, it's not just a connection. It's not just that we say a little prayer and we think that's going to do things. It's much more. We are talking. We are really walking about talking with him and hearing from him and getting direction. You know, sometimes the people say, you know, I don't hear what God says. Well, you got the problem. Because if you don't hear what God said, that means you haven't been really connected with him. They say, well, I'm not, you know, I don't hear voices. You should be able to hear God. That's, the Bible is full of things or indication. It's not a question of a mental problem that you got. You know, if you don't hear God, you got a mental problem. And if anybody says otherwise to you, tell them that. Because they are in trouble. Today, they are in trouble. We are not the weird ones. They are. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Good. Okay. So the following verse says, you know, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, I'm not going to use Ephesians here to teach these things. But the fact is that God has equipped us in us, you know, provided all the armor, all the things that we need, the weapons that we need to fight the battle. But the fact that we have an armory, you know, on our basement doesn't do any good if we are not using it. We need to use what God has provided for us so that he's going to be working and helping to do the things that are given to us for. Are you following me? Well, this is important. You know, lots of people, you know, play religion and they, you know, come in church on Sunday, and they know some scriptures, or maybe many scriptures. And when the time comes, they use nothing of that, and they try to fight in the flesh. They get nowhere. It's that relationship that makes a difference. And this is what we have to understand. And the enemy, you know, talks about we'll be able to stand the wiles of the devil. The word there, wiles, okay, is methodia, which actually means, or methodia, you know, actually method, you know, the methods, the tricks, the strategies that the devil uses. Okay, the strategies that the devil uses are very simple. Okay, and we should know very well about it. He comes when he has a position of advantage. Okay, when you are weak, tired. Okay, maybe distracted. You're not thinking about you are God caught up in this stuff. Or confused, fearful. All caught up in your emotions. just worked up. See, you can't think properly. You cannot respond properly. He makes traps for you, and you just fall into it unless you know and unless you are set up before to be able to stand in your position. I've been talking about having a position for at least 30 years. So, see, the thing is, the enemy comes, but to steal and kill and destroy, does it by deception, and he does it, you know, when you are weak. So, don't get weak. So, how do you do that? Well, you just do, you know, when you are weak, you just stop. Don't keep going. When you need to rest, rest. When you need to take time off, take time off. Don't just keep going. The world, they just keep going all the time. You get nowhere doing that. You know, if you do less, you do more. And we all have to learn that because the pressure from around is actually, that's the enemy idea, is just, you know, you have to keep going because there's so much to do. Well, I'm telling you, with God, you end up doing less, no more. And you produce more, no less. And that's when, you know, when we realize that, then we start saying, wait a minute, you know, where am I going? What am I doing? You start asking questions to yourself. You don't waste your energy in stuff that is immaterial, that is not important. And you put your focus and your attention on the things that are important and that make a difference. That's a question of just having the proper focus. And, you know, that means being aware of what's going on inside. All right? See, Jesus came to give us life abundantly. And if we don't experience the abundant life, that means the enemy is taking over. But if we, you know, Psalm 91 talks about, you know, that we shall not, you know, we can trust that we are not going to be taken in the snare of the fowler. Okay. The tricks of the enemy are not going to affect us because we are, why? Because we are in the presence of the Most High. Because we are connected with Him. See, that is what makes us sensitive and aware. Instead of going around like zombie, like the world does. Okay? Okay. So, the point is we have to realize that He come to steal and kill and destroy, but He doesn't have the power. And lots of believers are really confused about that because they think that the enemy thinks that Satan is all-powerful. Well, he is not all-powerful. He is defeated. The only power that he has is the power we give him. The power you give him. I refuse to give him any power. Okay. But how did he does it? He's deceiving. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. If you believe his lies, then you give him room because you believe what he says. And that's what he did with Eve and Adam. You know, he told him a story and he fell in the trap. They fell in the trap. That's the only way he can beat you. But he's so good at the game, and we are so dumb in it that we fall in for it most of the time. Believers should be sensitized, should become aware what happens in the spiritual dimension, to be able to say, well, wait a minute, you know, what are you talking about when he tries to put something on us? Are you following me? That's important to understand. Okay. So many in the world, they don't even believe eggs exists, so he can do whatever he wants. Okay, well, that's completely crazy. Okay. So they don't have any strategy. They don't understand anything. But Christians that are deceived about the power of the enemy, okay, they end up giving the power and authority to push them around and to take advantage of us. Don't give him permission. When he comes with something and you realize that happens, he says, no, I don't agree with that. I don't receive it. I don't stand for that. I tell you, buzz off. But, you know, you had to take a strong position because he just put up a show. Okay. So, we are actually battle equipped. God has given us everything that we need. But we need to have what we have very clear in our mind and to use it properly. Okay? We are armed to our teeth, completely ready for battle. Or should be completely ready for battle. But the first place to start is really to know the weapons we have and to know how, you know, to use them at the time when we need them. Okay? And we need them all the time because we are in a battle. Okay? So we need to know. But we need to know, you know, not theoretically, but practically. We need to know about, sometimes we don't even know what we don't have. And well, that's a bad situation to be in. Okay? It's much better to realize what we don't have, and then we can do something about it, maybe not very comfortable when you figure it out. So you have to learn what you don't have, you have to understand, to become conscious, to be able to appropriate what you have. Okay? But just appropriating is not enough. We get to be so good at it, so, you know, has to be so strongly in our mind that we don't even think about it anymore. It's just a natural reaction that we have when we get attacked. Those things should be inside us, ready to be used. If you have a sword, you just pull it out right away. And that's one of the first things you have to learn to use. Okay, so we have to understand, remember the strategy and the weapons that God gives us. You can call it strategies, weapons. You know, I think that it's better to call them strategy than weapons because they are not physical things. Anything that God is a spirit. And he gives us spiritual things to deal with spiritual problems. And unless we understand about the spiritual dimension, we are not going to be very effective in doing these things because we are trying to do things in the physical, in the flesh. And we are going to talk to make some differences, to make some distinction there so that we don't end up making effort in the wrong direction so that it's not going to work very well. Okay. We're going to see that. So the first things that we have to understand here, okay, that we have to take a position against the enemy. Okay. In James chapter 4, verse 7, the word says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, submitting to God is important. I mean, that's a starting point. If you are not connected with God, if you are not submitted with God, if you are not, you know, in the proper relationship with him, you are lost already. Okay, you are like the people in the world. So, you make sure that that's taking place, okay? And that is something you have to do all the time. But the other thing is when you get attacked, so you have to do that all the time. But when you get attacked in any way or form, then you have to know that you have to resist the devil and he will flee from you. I mean, that's a pretty strong statement, okay? It says that you resist it, he's going to just buzz off. He's going to go away. Okay? And when you talk about resisting, you know, is the word in Greek is antistami, okay? Which actually means to oppose, to stand against, not in a position of, I'm afraid, but in a position of, I'm here. Try something. Okay, there has to be a position of strength inside you that you are not afraid that he's stronger than you. He's defeated. He doesn't have any authority or any rights over you if you are a believer. And you are walking with God. And if you're not walking with God or you made a mistake, you quickly deal with that so that he doesn't have any hook to get inside you. Okay? But the idea is that you cannot be passive. You cannot be, you know, afraid. You cannot be all these things. Oh, the devil, you know. The devil can't touch you if God is inside you. But if you don't know it, he's going to be more than touch you. He's going to mess you around. He comes just for that. Okay. So, point is, the victory that you're going to have cannot come out of your fleshy efforts or when trying to do things in the flesh. You know, people think that by screaming and yelling and fighting in the physical, they'll win the devil. How stupid can you be? You know, people do, I mean, things are happening today. Christians do that kind of stuff. I mean, they think that to deliver people, you know, cast out demons, they had to fight against the person. Are you stupid or what? He's a spirit. Oh, if you don't scream, he's not going to. You don't need to scream. You don't need to do anything in the physical. You need to do something in your spirit. If you don't have a position, you're not going to get anywhere. The flesh can do nothing. And we have to understand that. End up like the son of Shiva, beaten up. Praise the Lord. Okay, so you have to start from the place or knowing the authority a believer has, the position that Jesus has provided for you, and the fact that the enemy cannot touch you if you say, don't touch. Don't react. Don't get too busy. Become aware of what happens spiritually inside you and around you, because he's going to try from the around if you are young and strong. Okay? Do not react to his traps emotionally, because that's the way that you're going to be caught up and distracted. Don't choose your battlefield. Choose where you are going to fight with him. Don't let him choose the battlefield. See? But when you are rested and prepared and the word is inside you, I mean, all these things is things you can do, okay? And, you know, you are connected with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, then you know what to do. You know, okay? Example. Jesus, when he was starting his ministry, okay? There is much more that I could teach on that, but at the moment I'm not going to do that. But the important thing to understand, okay, the word says, and lots of people get confused about that. Okay, Matthew 4:1 says, and Jesus was led up by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And I heard people say, how is that possible? You know, God doesn't tempt anybody. See, people take things literally and they don't understand what they're talking about. How you get promoted? You go through a test. You had to prove that you can do something. Well, Jesus was starting his ministry. And he wanted to clarify certain things about the flesh, about sin in general. So he himself chose, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, to go and fast for 40 days, encounter and meet the devil right there. So that he would decide to prove his position once for all. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That was a choice directed by the Holy Spirit that we can do also. But we better know what we are doing when we are doing that. Hello? He went there in his own ground, in his own turf. He was ready. He was fasted. He was putting the flesh under subjection. He was in control. He had the word inside himself. He says, now come up and see what happens. It happened exactly what we should happen. The stuff of the flesh came up. And the three temptations, I'm not going to go into all that. The three temptations come up. And he knew what to do. Shoot the word at him. Right away, because he was ready. Because he wasn't distracted. Because he wasn't confused. Because he was ready to blow him out with the word. This is what we have to learn to do. If you have areas in which you are not in a clear position with God, that's the time to pray, and that's the time to go and fast for, and that's the time to meet him in when you are on your turf, not in his. And come to a place in which you make a decision. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And you stand on that position, you don't let them move anymore. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Those are things that we all have to deal with. And if you have problem in any of those areas, you better do some fasting. He's our example. You know, I don't believe one needs to be fasting, you know, all the time. And one has to, but when there are things that are to be addressed, it's not to, you know, you fasting doesn't convince God to do anything that he has not done already. People try to, you know, fast and pray to turn, arm of God behind his back so that he's going to do what you want. God is not going to do anything that he hasn't done already. He has done everything that you need for life and godliness. What more can he do? What we have to do is ourselves. We fast to deal with our own flesh, to put it under subjection, so that he's not going to hinder us anymore. And we do that once for all. And whenever try to raise the head up, just cut the head off. Are you following what I'm saying? You don't convince God of your goodness by fasting. Your goodness are dirty rags for him. You deal with your own flesh, your own weaknesses. You find a weakness, you find yourself, you find difficult to fight the devil. That's the thing you have to deal with. And that is you, not God. You cannot ask God, you know, make a decision for me. That's a decision you have to make. You want to go somewhere? You want to get somewhere? You want to, you know, succeed to fight the devil? Unless you do start at that point. Just people before Jesus, before starting his ministry, just at the beginning, he made sure the slate was clean. So it becomes very clear when we had to do a thing like this is when, you know, there are areas that we realize that we are struggling with and we had to clean it up. And we don't go, God, please, you know, take away the sin from me. No, he cannot do it. He has done it already, everything. Jesus took the penalty for that, but you had to make the decision. And when you made that decision and you are stable in that position, the enemy can do nothing to push you around. Are you still with me? Good, because otherwise you can go home. I'm serious. You know, I mean, we sometimes have some funny religious ideas that they've been, you know, inherited by 2,000 years of nonsense, when instead, you know, we should know the condition we are in with the new covenant. And the power that is, you know, in us. Okay, that's, you know, we deal with the position in our flesh. That's the place we start. And we do, and we resolve those issues. Okay. It's not the only thing, but, you know, when you do it in fasting and praying, taking the time off, you are not just waiting for him to get to you. You go and deal with him before he does it. Because, you know, you have been already, you have been struggling with that already before. So, you know, and, you know, those three that things, the general things that you have to deal with anyway. But that's what really is important to do. So strategy number one, know the position, take a position, and don't let him to push around. Know, realize your weaknesses, your spot, your weak spot, and clean them up. So that you are in a position of advantage, not defeat. So that when he tries to come up, you say, no way. I just chose, I'm in positioning well, I'm not going to move here. I'm going to just try to get to me, you get nothing. All right. Strategy one. Maybe we can do another maximum, I don't know. Okay. The other thing is, you know, to be able to do that, okay, without the word in you, you can't. So you just you know, you know, you cannot just have one strategy. You have to have all the strategies together, okay? You don't go around, you know, with the armor on your chest when your back is completely free for him to get you on the back. So you need to have the equipment there. You know, you need to be filled with the word. Okay. Even that is not enough. Lots of people are filled with the word and they're just words. Okay. So we have to understand. See, Jesus had that from the very beginning, even from before he came here. But when he came on earth, he just got into the word and you studied the word and you learned from the word. Because he had to learn the way we learn. So he had to go to the word and read it, study it, and meditate it and understand it. Okay? Well, that's what John, you know, one says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, you know, that really, when you got the Word inside you, you got God inside you. Hello? That's what it's saying here. Okay. Later on, verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The wind beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the way you get the grace and the truth, and is when the Word is inside you. Okay. The point is, the important thing to understand, okay, that Word must become flesh. That means, you know, that has to be so assimilated by you. You know, you had to eat it, digest it, and become your part, become part of you. So that when something happens and there is a need for a word, you don't need to go around to look at the concordance. It just comes out automatically, because by the time you look at the concordance, you are defeated already. Okay? Makes sense? It's like somebody, you know, doesn't know how to, you know, a soldier, you know, has a gun and doesn't know how to shoot it. Well, doesn't do any good. All right? So, that's important to understand. You know, the Word of God must dwell in us. And that's what Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32. Okay? If you abide in my word, and you are my disciple indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, or make you free. Okay, so the truth that you be in it is determined by the fact that the word is in you, that is part of you, that is, you know, just automatically there, revealing the truth about certain the things that you are dealing with. Dwelling in the word is what allow the truth to be in you, and the, you know, freedom, the deliverance, the setting free from the other things, okay? All the bondages are going to go through that process, because you start to identify the things and you can let it work inside you as it becomes part of your flesh. Praise the Lord. The word is living and powerful. You know, Hebrews 4:12, you know. And that means, you know, it's alive. It just knows how to work in your life, in your situations all the time. And it's very powerful. It's the power of God inside there. It's God's thoughts. Okay. And it enables you to discern things, to understand things, to recognize things. The only way to get spiritual understanding and discernment is through the word. It's not through just experiences. If the word are not, if the experiences are not checked through and dealt with through the word, very likely you're going to get messed up. Okay, so that's important to understand. But we, you know, as the word work in us, then we start to be able to respond properly to what happens around us, to discern properly what happened with us. We can make the proper judgment about what's happening, or what I'm going through, or what the things that I should be doing, and you get the direction from there, from the word. Okay. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 says, you know, we are not sufficient in ourselves to think anything. Praise the Lord. I mean, that's back the same thing, okay? As being from ourselves, okay? And this is, you know, the things that Jesus said too all the time, okay? The fact that he depended everything from the Father, as we heard before. But our sufficiency is from God, who made us sufficient ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now that shows a very important point, possibly critical point for us to understand. It's not just a question of memorizing scriptures. It's a question of receiving the scripture and the proper understanding about the scriptures. Without the proper understanding, the scripture kills. That's what you can see. It happens with the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they knew the scripture much more than we know today. But what happens with when Jesus came? Majority of the people just rejected him because they knew the scripture. What is this guy calling to tell us? He showed a completely different dimension, a completely different understanding, and they couldn't take it. Why? Because the mind that is not connected with God cannot understand spiritual things. They have to be spiritually discerned. So it's not just a question of knowing some scripture and blabbing them out. It's a question of actually being able to integrate that with the whole situation and to know what to do with it and to have the proper understanding. You know, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10 says, you know, we had the prophetic word, which is actually the scripture, is for confirmed. You do well to heed as a light that shines in the darkness, on dark places, until the day dawns and the morning star rise up in your heart. For knowing this, the prophecy, not prophecy of scripture, was in private interpretation. It's not that you can interpret what you want. You know that there are 25 different meanings of scripture. You know what God meant, he meant it, and that's the only thing that counts. Okay, so that is very important. Prophecy never came by the will of man, but Holy Spirit, but holy men of God, okay, are moved by the Holy Spirit, you know, as they wrote them in the scriptures. So it's as the Holy Spirit gave them and intended to mean. Okay, so that puts us to a place, okay, that we, another part that we have to, another piece of the puzzle, another piece of the armor that we have to consider that is critical about that. If the Holy Spirit wrote the scriptures, just knowing the scriptures is not enough. We need the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the scripture because they had to be revealed by the one who wrote them so that we are in agreement with what was intended when they were given. And that is the next strategy that we should have in place. We need to be not just filled with the word, but we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you still there? You see, those are the different pieces of our armor. Okay? And they have to be properly connected one with another to be able to be effective. The Holy Spirit is critical for us to be successful. Without the Holy Spirit, we are not going to get anywhere. Okay, and see, that's why it's so important. People born again, they get the Holy Spirit, but really that's only half of the story. Okay, we need more of it. We need to be filled with it. That means, you know, that it's a critical element in our armor for God. For fight, the fight against the enemy. You know, Jesus said to the disciples, "Is this convenient for us, or is, you know, appropriate for me to go now? Because if I don't go, I don't send you the Holy Spirit. The Father won't send you the Holy Spirit, and that means you won't have it. So, you know, that's going to make a difference. Why is so much a difference? Well, because you know." He is going to be your helper. He is going to help you. It's like having, you know, Jesus assigned to you on a personal basis 24/7. Jesus couldn't do that when he was on earth. He wasn't able to stay with the disciples, you know, with each disciple all the time. You know, you do ask them to do things, we teach them to do things. He says, no, you go and try it out, and he will come back and say, well, that was wrong, that was right. No, what he was giving us was somebody, a chaperone there, coming with us all the time and pulling our jacket, you know, when we go in the wrong direction, or you say, yes, pushing us back, you know, when we need to be pushed. Okay, this is our helper, okay? The one that is there, you know, in John 14, 26, says, just, you know, the helper, the Holy Spirit, when whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that you said to you. So really the idea is that the Holy Spirit is going to teach us stuff. Okay, and when we need to remember, he gave it to us. So we had to learn to be connected with him. Okay, he's, you know, not only that, but, you know, says in verse 16, 13, you know, says, you know, whenever he, the Holy Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth, so that's why he's going to bring into all truth, you know, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own, adoring on his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you of things to come. So really, you know, he's not trying to make you prophesy. You know, he'll show you the next things that you have to deal, the things, how you deal with your own situation, what you have to do next. So you are not there saying, I don't know what to do. Did you ask the Holy Spirit? Did you spend enough time to listen to the Holy Spirit? He says here that, you know, well, it doesn't talk to me. Well, I'm sorry. He's talking to you. You don't hear it. Why? Could be many reasons. One, because you don't believe it is going to talk to you. That's bad enough. Because what you're saying, you know, I see the scripture and I don't agree with it. Hello? So you have to believe what the word says. So you should be, you know, if you believe what the word says, you are going to expect the Holy Spirit to speak to you. If you don't expect anything, you get nothing. Okay? So you are there in expectation that he's going to show you the next things. And, you know, he's gentle. He just dropped the thing there. Are you picking it up? But if you think, I don't hear anything, you know, you want the scream and the thing, you know, like the prophet there, you know, the wind, was God wasn't in it, you know, the fire wasn't, you know, all the things. But a little small voice comes in and give you the idea. And if you're listening, you go, ah, I got it. Are you following what I'm saying? So that is so important. You see, our relationship with the Holy Spirit becomes critical for us to be able to use the weapons. You know, this is the connection with the headquarters. He knows the battleground better than you do. He's from up there. He sees everything. Okay? So he's going to tell you a thing to come. So he is working, you know, guiding you like just the GPS that you have in your car. You know, if you had to go to Toronto, Montreal, you know, the fact that you go to Toronto, Montreal is not enough. You have to know what the next street you have to turn on or off. And that doesn't tell you the whole story, but tells you what the next step is, things to come. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, is not to show you everything, you know, he's going to show you the next step you have to take. And you're going to know that's the right thing to do. Praise the Lord. But this just requires believing. Okay. And then it's a question of, you know, doesn't stop there. The Holy Spirit gives us supernatural power to do things that you cannot do yourself. Okay? It says in Romans, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you know, Jesus there says, however, when the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Okay, that's what he said. And he will, you know, not speak on himself, the things to show the things to come. Sorry, I'm reading in the wrong place. He said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall do what? Be witness of me in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and on the end of the earth. That's really important to understand. Okay, he should give you power, and the power there is dunamis, which actually is supernatural power, the ability to do supernatural things. That makes all the difference. Okay, you can do things that normal people cannot do because you are not normal. You are super normal. Okay. You are wall to wall filled with the Holy Spirit inside yourself. The Holy Spirit inside you, empowering you, enabling you. I don't know what you want more. I mean, you are equipped. You know, and after having talked about all this stuff, we haven't even finished. There is more stuff to help us, more equipment. This is better than a bazooka. Okay, I mean, you can blow up things. Supernatural. Okay? Well, let's take another little aspect of it and then we close. Okay. Romans 8:21 says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. So what is telling us? I mean, if the Spirit is inside you, he's going to put the power inside you to heal you, because that's what he did with Jesus. Actually, he was dead and made it alive. Okay, heal you and fix you up and keep you alive and keep you healthy. You go, oh, I don't know if it works that way. Well, that's why you don't have it. I believe it is. And I believe we can experience that. If Jesus was raised from the dead, after 3 days he was dead, and had been embalmed and everything else, I mean, you need a job there to be done. Okay? Well, you have it inside to quicken what? Your mortal body, not just your spirit. You better start believing it if you want to walk in divine health. I mean, that, you see, one of the way the enemy uses, you know, is trying to make you sick. Kill and steal and destroy. When he comes around, you say, well, wait a minute. The word doesn't say that. You cannot do that. You better take off. I resist you. I'm not going to get sick. You know, I sound a bit funny today. Okay? But I resisted it. I didn't get it. Liliana had the cold. You know, I didn't get the cold. I just got this stupid voice there that... You know, it's crumpy, but it's not. I didn't get sick at all. Well, I'm okay. You see, I'm not. But it tried to come to me. I mean, you know, I didn't take any precaution. I didn't do anything in which he was sick for three, four days. And I said, no, I'm not going today. I buzzed that virus, you know. Virus buzzer. You lost something last Thursday. But anyway, you know, I buzzed that thing off. I'm not going to take it. And tried to, but I didn't take it. I didn't get it. The funny throat that was at the beginning, that this shows that, you know, it's coming. That's the time to fight it, not when it's all blown up. So I took that position, and the throat went away right away. Amen. Okay. Now, the voice was a bit funny, but, you know, that because the healing was already taking place. Okay. Praise the Lord. I am not sick. I am fine. And I'm going to keep being fine. Amen. Amen. See, this is what the weapons we have. The enemy tries to make you sick. Well, you say, no. That's the first thing you have to say. That's the first thing you have to say. No. And then, if you need, stamp your foot. And if he keeps around, you can start talking to him and says, go. And you take all the symptoms that are in your body, and you one after the other, you say, yes, sore throat, go. You cannot stay here. Nose, drippy nose, you go and drip your nose, not mine. And so on. And you keep going, and you keep going, and you keep going, and you talk to the symptoms. It works. He says, sounds crazy. I don't care. It works. That's the way you win the battle. We haven't finished. You have to wait for 2 weeks now. Did you get anything today? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, it's not complicated. Actually, it's easy, but it's not, you know, I shouldn't say that. Actually, it's simple, but it's not easy. You have to actually do it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Praise you, Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. It's enough to give us strength and direction for us to know what to do when the enemy tries to trick us and put things on us. We can tell him where to go. He knows where he should go. And we have victory. In Jesus' name, he's given us all the equipment and the power and the understanding and the strength to fight him off. And he will flee. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We say, amen and amen.